Amen. All right. Open up your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. I'll give you a place to go there. We've been talking about the spirit. Your spirit. That's your inner man. That is the real you. We are a spirit. We possess a soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And we live in these physical bodies. And when we are born again, our spirit gets reborn, not the physical body. It's the same physical body. Sorry, but it's your spirit. That's the most important part. It's your spirit gets reborn. And when your spirit gets reborn, God will then use our spirit to guide us. He communicates His guidance through the Holy Spirit who dwells in our spirit after the new birth. There will need to be a training of the human spirit, though. You agree with that? See, it's just like the mind can be educated and trained intellectually, so the spirit can be trained spiritually. It can be built up in strength, just as the body can be built up. Right, bodybuilders? You exercise it, the body gets stronger. You exercise the spirit with the Word of God, it gets stronger. Well, how can we train our human spirit? I have four principles for you today. One, meditating in the Word of God. Two, practicing the Word of God. Number three, giving the Word of God first place. Number four, instantly obeying the voice of our spirit. As we apply these four principles to our daily lives, we will come to know the will of God in even the minor details of life. God communicates with our spirit, not with our reasoning faculties, not with this. As we instantly obey our spirit, we will find that we are obeying the Holy Spirit. Now you're there in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Your spirit is a lamp that He can now use, searching all the inner depths of His heart. He uses your spirit and searches you out through that head of yours, those thoughts. So this means that God is going to use our own spirit to guide us. The spirit of man, like I said, is the lamp of God. So number one, meditating the Word of God. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 5, we're going to start reading there. Now this is the Lord, and He's speaking to Joshua. Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Tell me the confidence he didn't have when that was said to him. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall, not might, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them 40 years ago. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper, prosper wherever you go. It'll work for you too. Works for me. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. After Moses' death, when God, he appointed and anointed Joshua. Joshua didn't volunteer. He was appointed and then he was anointed by God to lead the children of Israel. And God told him at the very onset of his ministry of the importance of meditating the Word of God. And to meditate means more than just contemplation. We are to reflect on God's words in a thoughtful way, appropriating its truths, and then applying them to our life. Meditating the Word of God will feed your inner man, your spirit. Then, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, your spirit will know what to do, and you will get the answer that you have been looking to get. Your mind may say no, because it looks at the physical and not at the spiritual realm. When God says no to you, it's not no to what the answer is. He's saying no. Don't listen to those false accusations of the accuser. No, don't listen to him, because he will come at your head. And he gets to your head through your mind. So what's Romans 12:2 say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing comes by the Word as we meditate on it. Only when the Holy Spirit renews, re-educates, and redirects your mind while you are meditating on God's Word are you then being truly transformed. God's Word will make it possible for you to make your way prosperous. That's the opposite of poor. You don't need to be poor no more. You need to read the Word and become prosperous. And who's going to make it prosperous? You are, because you're reading the Word. And then you will have good success, not failure, not defeat, but good success. We cannot develop spiritual wisdom without meditation in God's Word. We need to spend time meditating in God's Word. So we need to get alone with our spirit and shut the world out. Start by taking 10 to 15 minutes daily in meditation. Meditation of the Word. Begin to develop your spirit. Number two, practicing the Word of God. Sounds like you got to be a doer. So turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll look to verse 22. James says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Be doers of the word. See, it's important to listen to the Word of God and what He has to say. But it's much more important to do what it says. You got to do what it says. Some people think that being a doer of the Word is keeping the Ten Commandments. However, under the New Covenant, we have one commandment, the commandment of love. See, if you love someone, you won't steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You're not going to be gossiping about them. Gossip is so deadly. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look, or what did I say? Romans chapter 13. I want to look at verse 8. In fact, 8, 9, and 10. Now, this is the New Living Translation. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. We are forever indebted to Christ for His love for us. The only way that we can even begin to repay Him for His love is by loving others. No matter how hard it is, brother. And I love others. Because that was what Jesus said. Love them as I have loved you. In Galatians 5:14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you walk in love, you won't break any law that was given to curb sin. None. In James 22, again, but this is the New Living Translation. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. James is urging believers to do primarily what is written in the epistles, to act upon the word. Act upon the word. Turn to Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 6. Yeah, I know, Timmy just used this on Wednesday. That's all right. God lets us use it every day of the week. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Hey, Jack, your favorite one, Amplified. What edition? Yeah, sir, it's the classic. You got that. Verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, in parentheses, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. See, we usually practice only part of this. See, we don't mind practicing the part that tells us to pray, do we? No. But if we just practice one part of this and not the other, we're not practicing the Word of God. We are not a doer of the Word. What's the other part say we're supposed to do? It says, do not fret. Don't fret or have any anxiety. Fret means to be constantly or visibly worried or anxious. Don't overthink the circumstances or the situation. Timmy exposed himself on Wednesday. Mind if I re-expose you?
Go right
And if you want, I'm going to give the abbreviated, but you want to hear the original, go get Wednesday's CD and listen to it. Anyhow, Tim got up and he was telling us about some things that he's been praying about. But not only was he praying about them, he was fretting over them. He had anxieties over them. He was losing sleep over them. And as he said, and I quote, he says, I was losing beauty sleep. And we know we need so much of that. Praise God. Well, I got an amen from Dean there. Wow. That's your brother. He loves you. Yeah. So if you're going to fret and have anxieties, then it isn't going to do you any good to make any of those requests, is it? And Tim wasn't. Or he was not. He was letting things get to him. And there were especially five things that he kept praying about. And he see nothing happening. Because he was worried about them. And he was trying to carry the load because he says, I'm a fixer. I want to fix it. Little story. Tim, one day, in his basement, had his drain plugged. His main sewer drain was plugged. And he rented this snake. And Tim took the shove and had done it, sort. And then he got it stuck. He got it stuck. He didn't know what to do. Guess what? He called a brother in the Lord who lives down the street from him. And he says, I don't know what to do. I got this thing stuck in there. You know, I says, Tim, I'll get up. I'll take a look at it for you. Okay, but I'm not going to be here. I said, don't worry about it. I went up, looked at it, went back down the house, got a couple things, went up the house. Tricia, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to get the snake out. About 10 minutes later, I had the snake out. It was rolled up on the floor, cleaned up the mess. Tim came home. He found out, how'd you get it out? I said, that was something he could not do, and he had to call for help. When he finally quit worrying about it and realized, hey, I got to call for help, the same as we need to do. When we call to God, when we get to that point, we need help, he will answer, and he will take care of it. But in the meantime, you're trying to do it, and you're worrying over it the whole time, getting yourself all worked up for nothing. Go to him first. He will guide your steps and lead you through it. But Tim waited, got himself all frustrated, and had a terrible day that day. But then when he come home, and there it was, because he knew that he wasn't going to have to pay for that snake, and he wasn't going to have to pay a plumber to come do it. You know, I think that's what blessed him more than anything. And if God said not to fret, then this means we can keep from fretting. See, God is a just God, and he won't ask us to do anything that we cannot do. And back to Tim's five things. Well, when he finally got his head straightened out because someone spoke the word to him, someone here in this church who usually doesn't mind doing that, it's his brother in the Lord. Well, that's when Tim realized, wait a minute. I've been praying, but I've been fretting. I've been getting anxious. I've been getting worried over this. And he kept trying to go over and over in his mind. He was overthinking the whole scenario of all these things. And then when he finally said, you know what? You're right, brother. I don't have to take on these cares. I don't have to take on these worries. Because the word says not to fret, not to be anxious, not to have any anxieties over anything. Anything. But needless to say, Tim did that. Then he prayed. He prayed in faith, believing that he received. And he's got three of the answers already taken care of. And he said the other two, he says, God's going to take care of them. And he's not putting a timeline on God to do that. He knows that God's going to do that. And he knows that he's already received his answer because he prayed in faith. And he's no longer taking on the cares and worries about these situations. Amen? All right. Now, if we believe God's word to be true, and it tells us do not fret or have any anxieties about anything, then we can believe God for the promise in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you will be able to have and enjoy your beauty sleep. To receive this peace, though, which surpasses all understanding, we must do what verse 6 says in the Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. The education and training of our spirits comes by practicing the Word of God, doing. Can you reap results and have peace without being a doer of the Word? No, you really can't. Be a doer of the Word, and you will grow spiritually. And you will have peace. Number 3, giving the Word first place. Okay? Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I had Proverbs 4, 20 and through 22. But the Lord prompted me last night when I was going through my message again, you know, because you go over it and over it and over it, because I want it in so that it can come out the way God wants it. Well, he said, look over to verse 10. I went, okay. I thought that was pretty awesome. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Wow. Receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Sounds like you can make it to where the Bible says 120. Okay, verse 20 there. Says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. See, with so many different voices surrounding us, it's often difficult to stop and listen to the voice of the Word of God. Family and friends are always ready to give you their opinions and advice. That brought to mind Bert's testimony. You had a lot of people giving you advice on what to do, didn't you, Bert? Lots of them. She listened to them. There was a lot of people trying to bring comfort and, everything's going to be okay. You know, it's all right if you're not going to have children. Don't worry about that. Went to the doctors. And what did man tell her? Not going to happen. Impossible. And you know what she did? She turned the impossible to the possible because she went to God. She went to the Word. She went to the Word. So, what she was doing was training the spirit. It's essential to train the spirit man. And it is learning to hear what God's Word has to say to us. It is giving the Word first place. First place, not second. First place. In these verses, God tells us to do 3 things with His Word. He says to listen to it, to read it, and to meditate it, or memorize it. I like that, memorize it. Verse 20 says, incline your ear to my sayings. Anytime the Bible is read aloud in church, in family devotions, on a gospel radio, on a television program, on CDs or tapes, give careful attention to the words. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. In other words, spend time alone reading God's word. Let it sink deep into your thoughts and your heart. Memorize it. That's as the second part of verse 21 says. Keep them in the midst of your heart. If we do these three things, we will find what God's word states in verse 22. They are life. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health means medicine. Flesh is talking about the body. The body, the physical you. The physical you. Those words, his words, bring healing, bring health, bring wholeness. His word. His word supersedes anything that the doctors might tell you. You're not going to have a child. Yeah? Tell that to those two girls sitting back here. Tell it to Stephanie and Jessica. Bert stood on the word. She memorized it. She got it down in her. And the more she spoke it over herself and believed it and spoke it and spoke it. And there was a lot of other people out there that were having a really hard time. But then, you know, you sure you want to go through all this and believe this? The one who supported her through every part of this and didn't put her through any other medical things to see what was happening was Pastor. The two of them were joined together for a reason. And she wasn't to be barren. His desire was to have children, so was hers. And she wanted to satisfy what her husband wanted. And she had to go to the Word to make sure that that happened. And it happened. Awesome testimony, Bert. And if you want the original version of that, try July 27th, 1983, when she told that. It was good then. It's even better now when you're dealing with it. See, we will enter into life, a life more abundant in Christ Jesus, because he himself has said, I have come to give life and to give life more abundantly. We will find physical healing for our bodies. All we need to do is give God's word first place. Number four, instantly obey the voice of our spirit. The human spirit has a voice. We call it the voice conscience. Sometimes we call it intuition. We call it the inner voice of guidance. It is our spirit talking to us. Everyone's spirit has a voice, whether you're saved or not. It has a voice. And it will speak to you. It will speak to you. So you train that voice once you're born again. But you must be born again so the Holy Spirit can make spiritual revelation to you as you meditate the Word to get it in you to get that spirit man straightened out and on track. And the spirit man will take over the authority of the mind. As Joyce Myers has preached, the battlefield. Where is it? It's in the mind here. It's in the mind. See, at the new birth, it's the rebirth of the human spirit. As your spirit meditates upon the Word, this is where your spirit gets its information. So you learn to obey your spirit. Your spirit has the life and nature of God in it. For the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Holy Spirit dwells within your spirit. God communicates to you through your spirit because that's where He is. That's where He is. He isn't in your head. He isn't in your reasoning faculties at all. And you can't communicate to Him through your head. It's through your heart, through your spirit, man. He's in your spirit. Your spirit gets its information through Him. Learn to obey your spirit. The conscience is a safe guide in the spirit-filled believer because God is dwelling within him. The believer's conscience, the voice of his spirit, becomes the voice of God. See, God is speaking to him. He's speaking to us. Are you listening? And more importantly, are you obeying? In Acts 23, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said that he obeyed his conscience. It says, "Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.'" Right up to the day he was being falsely accused at the Sanhedrin court, he knew his conscience was good to go. He knew where his spirit man had directed him. In Acts 24, verse 16, said, "This being so, I myself also strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world is simply and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you." That's the way, if we're led by our conscience, by our spirit, there is no condemnation. Paul had a clear conscience and maintained it because he listened to his spirit for guidance. Proverbs 20, chapter 27, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord." You ever been out spotting deer? Turn on a spotlight from a deer. Man, is that magnified. That's what God does within us, with our spirit. He's able to shine through us. There's nothing that's hidden from Him. Nothing. You can't hide from Him. He even knows your thoughts. The devil doesn't, but God does. He's all omnipotent. The ICB, the International Children's Bible, verse 27 says, "The Lord looks into a person's feelings. He searches through a person's thoughts." Oh my. Think about the thoughts you've had lately. And I say that for me too. I have a thought life, and I have to keep it under control. And when my thoughts start to run, I've learned, because I've sat under the ministry of an awesome teacher here at Aliquippa Christian Assembly, I run to the Word. I run to the Word. Let God's Word have first place. God will use your spirit to guide you. He will use it to enlighten you. And as your spirit meditates and feeds upon the Word, then it becomes more and more a safe guide. It is trained in the Word. In the lives of believers, the inward voice is the voice of the Spirit speaking, not just the Holy Spirit. As we learn to obey the voice of our spirit, we will come to the place where we want and should be able to know all phases of life. Because you want to make sure that everything stays in phase, in the perfect phase. When it comes to electric, I thought of you when I read that. Because if anyone knows about electric, you get it out of phase, you got big problems, do you not, brother? So the Lord will guide us. And he will guide us through our own spirits. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Amplified Classic. In all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Acknowledge him means to observe him and get to know him in the process of living. In doing so, you will find that God smooths out the paths. Just literally smooths them out. He levels the mountains in front of you. Sunudisi. That is the Greek word for conscience. Thank you for listening. God bless each and every one of you. Now, I'm going to...